Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
South African Thando Nyameni is a seasoned professional with nearly two decades of experience, and he has left an indelible mark in a number of fields, most notably the creative industry amongst many others. His vast expertise and strategic leadership has led to a multitude of accomplishments, creating positive change in the KwaZulu-Natal area. Thando is also a soul and R&B singer renowned for his velvety voice and soul-stirring music. With a talent for crafting emotionally charged songs, he has gained recognition for his ability to connect with listeners on a deeper personal level. Up next to discuss his behind-the-scenes creative journey and his music career, we are joined on Celeb Savant by Thando Nyameni. Where do we find you in the world and how are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me, Barrett. Where do you find me in the world? I'm based in Durban, the city of Durban in South Africa, and I'm in the music business. I mean, been in it for a good while now, period of over 20 years. First of all, I wanted to start off as a musician and do my thing. And then eventually the bug of the music business behind the scenes caught me. So that's literally what I've been doing for the past 10 years, I'd say, just helping develop the industry and take it from there. Yeah.
For the right. 10 years previous to starting to behind the scenes, were you doing actively being a musician?
To be exact, 1996 was my first, I would say, paying gig with a live band, soul R&B. Obviously, gospel is the background, but soul R&B has always been my go-to. After, you know, hearing groups that like to harmonize, like Boyz II Men, the gospel group Commissioned, those were the elements, those were the influences. So I tried to emulate those guys and add a little bit of me because obviously South African, so you want to add a South African flavor. So I've been performing, trying to find my feet. 2002, I joined the Mongeni Ngema Academy. That's where I sort of learned, you know, the discipline aspect of it, elements of dance, music, and all those things, and theater even. But then 2003, I decided to do something different. So the journey has always been to try and perform, release, make music. Started a record label in 2010 with my wife and another business partner, Begim Tembo, my wife, Prue Nyameni. And ever since we did that, it's always been that. But I never really got an opportunity or a chance to release as much as I would have loved to release music. Because when we started the label, I decided to focus on the business side to find out how the business, how money is actually made. And I think I ended up liking the bug, and I actually stuck around and started doing that, the administration and all of that. And I totally neglected my music altogether. And yeah, but now it's calling me back again. So yeah, man, that's what it is.
Was it the attraction of finding out how the music industry or the music business world makes money? What's attracted you to go behind the scenes? Am I correct in my understanding, or was there other elements as well?
It was understanding how the machination of the music industry actually operates, how it works.
Okay.
Because there was a point, and I think when we started the record label, it was Bedertainment, and we rebranded to Spotless Works SA, which is still the label that I sort of represent when I'm not doing my Kumisa thing, the work that I'm doing, which I'll talk about in a second. So for me, the interest was, we've got a label, I'm the artist, and we also have other artists in there. How do we make money? Because we were in a period where we were transitioning from your physical sales, where there's CDs, and now you're moving into an unknown, you know, space where downloads from iTunes were becoming quite prevalent. Streaming hadn't kicked in as yet. People were selling through iTunes, so people were downloading. And we're wondering, how does one actually make money in this space now? I hadn't understood the copyright element of it, that that the copyright is the basic unit of trade, so much that when your music is played on radio, obviously through certain organizations, you're going to get paid royalties, just played on digital platforms, whatnot. Hadn't understood that. So I wanted to understand how it works, but also understand business, basic business principles, because I also found that in the music business, a lot of people opt to go for the music business as a passion as opposed to as a business. And usually what they get out of that is fame. I also want the fortune of it too. So it can't just be fame with me. I got to understand what the money is. So I wanted to know what the money is so that we, if I re release, then I at least know that I'm sending out the message through the music. There's the creative part there, but there's also the economic part. And if we sign anyone on, that they also too benefit from that. So I think that literally was the motivation, and that's what came out of it.
Okay. You've referenced it. The physicals, I'm not sure if you're aware, but I'm sure you are. Physicals are making a massive comeback. Like last year alone, vinyls in the UK, 5.9 million sales, the biggest since 1990. CDs are back. Cassettes, weirdly enough, are back. I never like cassettes because they always unwind while you listen to them. I love me a CD. I
Amen.
recently got myself a new CD player. Everyone was like, where are you going to buy a CD player from? There are no more CD players anywhere. And I went on to take a lot, and there were literally hundreds of options to choose. I had to narrow it down and narrow it down. So I'm very excited that the physical is back because for me, I love the holding of the aesthetic of something. For me, it's an energy exchange of saying thank you to the artist for all the hard work because it's a lot of hard work, which a lot of people don't realize. I feel the digital world has now made a situation where music has become disposable. Oh, I don't like this song. Oh, I'll skip it. And a lot of people don't realize and don't understand that artists get 0.005 cents or ridiculous amounts per stream. They think they're still making huge amounts of money. And I've now spoken to over 200 artists for the podcast, and I've heard that they're hardly making any money from these streams. In fact, the only way they're making money these days is through concerts and touring. So I've
That's it.
unpacked and given a whole bunch of information, and you've already referenced a little bit about it. But what is your observations and preferences regarding physical and the digital world?
I don't know if it's the old school head in me, but I will always prefer physical because it's something that you can see. It's something that is tangible that you can control. Whereas when I'm selling you something, I know exactly what I'm going to get out of it, and I know what to pay the service providers that provided me with a service, for instance, distribution if there is, manufacturing if there is, and I know exactly what my actual profit is. With this, it's so undefined. I grew up in the 80s, so the cassettes were a big thing up until, say, the mid-90s, if you will. So we still had cassettes, and we I used to actually love those TDKs. I won't lie, I really used to love those TDKs. And then the CDs came through. I'm glad I still have my old CDs with me. I still have my bag with CDs. Now, the problem, I've also just bought a vinyl player as well for my little man cave. So I'm going into vinyls hardcore. So I'm glad that it's coming back, but it's coming back at a pace that is quite slow because we need to educate people on the authenticity of the physical aspects of the music space. And I'm a little worried because when we talk about that type of market, you have to consider that the external market is usually controlled by those who have large resources, and they are able to also sort of influence what the consumers actually buy because they want to protect their interests. And most of these resource holders are not even in the music space. They are just service providers. For instance, I'll give you an example. I'm tuning into you right now through my MacBook, my Apple MacBook, and there's no CD-ROM for it, obviously. I'm driving a vehicle that doesn't have a CD player anymore. So you get all these other players who are also sort of influencing how we consume music. Because basically, if I want to play a CD in my car, it's quite impossible. I'm going to have to sort of find a way of digitizing that or perhaps streaming it so that I can actually play it through this. So the market becomes very difficult because of the other players in it, not to mention the streaming platforms, not to mention the major labels, because they also too have a hand in this. So it's a tricky one, and I'm really, really looking at how the market will do with the physical growing. But I'm glad that there are heads like you and me that still prefer physical because that means our voices and our preference will ultimately shape what the market will look like, as long as we band together and we're stubborn about it and we continue buying CDs, cassettes, and vinyls as well.
But what's interesting enough is that it's not the older people that are buying. It's I speak to a lot of artists, and it's like their nephews, nieces, the teenagers, the teens, the
Right.
late teens, early 20s. Those are the ones are redirecting their focus because I think they're tired of just everything being on their phone, and it's just like,
Oh,
oh, whatever. And when the solar
yeah.
thing happens and everyone loses everything, we'll still have our CDs, and we'll still have our books, and we'll still have our
Thank
photos.
you. Look, there's no more excitement anymore because now what happened is Barrett is dropping a CD. I'm like, oh, okay, great. Let me open my phone and download Barrett's music. There's no excitement of me going to a Musica and standing there in the line to actually get the product. And also get Barrett to sign my CD, or even for me to actually open up the page, the sleeve, and just see who Barrett is thanking, because it becomes a personal relationship. I mean, look, with my phone, I can even say, oh, there's a new movie. Tom Cruise is in it. Let me check it out on my phone.
Yeah, that's
There's no
personal.
need for me to go to the cinema. I've got Netflix for that. So the digital age, I can understand why they can get bored with it. Someone I saw on social media yesterday said something quite interesting that was quite funny to me. And that was, he was basically talking about food, just cooking, and saying that people in today's period, in the modern era, they've sort of changed how we do things or how we look at things so much. Because if you look at it now, I think the video there's a person who was frying eggs, but using water to do that. And the guy's like, man, look, it's either you boil it or you fry it using your preferred type of oil. And he said, what was interesting was one day, because everyone is changing how we consume things and how we do things because of the digital world and the free world, so they say, one day we are going to keep, maybe just archive how we used to do things, how we used to consume music, how we used to cook eggs and fry them. Archive that, put that in a time capsule, and then maybe release it in the next 100 years and let them rediscover how things were done originally and see just how exciting those ways used to be.
Absolutely. You've got your own record label. Let's dive into all the other elements that you do in the entertainment and music world.
So, apart from me, well, I think just for the sense of completing my introduction, I'm a musician, first and foremost, a songwriter. I sing in the R&B slash soul genres and more old school type. Especially if you think about your 90s R&B, that's where I come from. That's my era. That's what I love. But from the stuff that I do beyond the music release and all of that, and the business side that I talked about, I decided to join an incubator, a business incubator, so that I can understand the principles, the basic principles of business. And that was the name of it was Shanduka Enterprise, Shanduka Black Umbrellas. And from that experience, I understood how to actually run my music business, but from a sense of the business side of things, so much that our business was awarded in 2012 with two Enterprise Development Awards in the KZN region. I think it was most jobs created at the time. We came third place, and then we came first place as best performing company. Then the following year, 2013, was it? We were awarded with best performing company on the National Enterprise Development Awards by Shanduka Black Umbrellas. And we came third place there nationally, and the award was presented to me by the president of the country himself. So for
Oh, cool.
me, that journey was quite interesting for me. Now, obviously, because of the work that we were doing and the administrative work, because we started focusing on teaching people how money is actually made in the space. After the final award, there was an organization. I found out about an organization in KwaZulu-Natal, KZN, that had started in 2009, but the people who started it weren't sure how to actually get it on the road. So in 2014, I was nominated to actually join the board of that organization. That's the KZN United Music Industry Association, which is KUMISA. And me, along with a very diverse set of people from different disciplines joined that board. I became the treasurer of the board, and I became the chair of the board, and ultimately I became the GM and the MD, the managing director of that company. That was now 2014. That's February 2014. So ultimately, I'll be doing 10 years at COMESA, two of them in the board, and eight of those sitting as the head from the operational space as the managing director. And there, the task that we have is to find out, to do research to find out where the income gaps are in the music sector. Why is it not professionalized? Why is it not growing the way that it should grow? So that we can start playing in a much bigger field. And we found that there's a huge knowledge gap. There's a huge knowledge deficit. A lot of people don't know about where the money actually is. That yes, you do your live performances, you do your touring, but what about the copyright element where your music is played on radio, on television, on retail stores, and you're performing it live in concerts? Do you know that you are supposed to be paid by Sambro, a performing royalty, each time your music is played in these platforms, each time you perform it live in a platform that is actually licensed by Sambro? Did you know that Capasso is supposed to be paying you for your mechanical and digital rights for the very same song? Did you know that Sampra or Impra is supposed to be paying you each time your song is played in platforms that are licensed by them for needle time rights? And did you know that your song can be also paid each time it's playing? Your music video is playing in licensed platforms by Risa, Audiovisual, or Echo. We found out that, wow, apart from my live performances, I could still earn four times for the same song, four different times for the very same song.
Oh, wow.
That became our life's work to actually let people know, to train music publishers, to train real artist managers, to provide opportunities, and to enable people to join the full music market. And be effective in it, not just as performers who are looking for fame, but for people who will balance the equation, get the fame, get the fortune, go home, live your life. So that's what I've been doing for the past 8 years, empowering a lot of people. And I'll tell you now, we've got lots of artist managers that we've established who are doing great things, music publishers who are working in big companies. I mean, we got Shear Publishing asking us at one time, who do you have that we can take as interns or employees? They ultimately took three of our students and employed them permanently. So for me, those are the good stories. That's you shaping the industry and making things matter. Now I'm trying to go back into taking the microphone and singing in front
Singing.
of people as well. Don't know if I still got it, but I'll figure it out.
I'm sure you do. Okay, so now what inspires you and motivates you? I know it's been a period of gap between creating music, so I know it might have changed from then to now, but what
Right.
invigorates your creation of music?
Before, when I was writing to release, writing to record, release, and be out there, it used to be, realizing that you've got this talent and you've got this insight and you've got the style of writing, and you also have people that you look up to whose music sort of sounds like yours, or your music sounds like theirs. So for me, that used to be the inspiration to be the best that I could be, because in my space where R&B is concerned, I used to think I could body a whole lot of people. I could get out there and just do my thing and kill everyone, but also get my message out. I got born again, and then the message changed. It was like, okay, let's be motivational. Let's do out there. Let's go help. Let's do the Lord's work. Let's get people in. It wasn't gospel music. It was literally motivational music. But then I stopped. So what is my motivation now? What inspires me now? Now that I'm back, I feel like, when I look in my rearview mirror, the things that I've learned, life is a whole lot different now than when I started at 16 to where I'm actually now in my 40s. And I'm thinking, I've seen a lot of things. I've experienced a lot of things. I've made so many bad decisions. I've made so much that I've learned from, though. I've got things that I used to regret. But those things are life's lessons that have shaped me into being the husband I am, the father I am. And just a good person in society who has ethical and moral values. And we need more people like that. But that's my journey. This is how I got there. And I want to share that with people in hopes that they will get something. So motivation is getting my voice to do something. And even if it influences or maybe it gets to just one person, I know that my job will have been done because maybe I will have just saved that person's life through God's grace. So that's what my motivation is now, and that's where I'm going with this.
I know it's early days, you're just starting out again. So do you think it'll be an accumulation of a whole body of work like an album, or you're just going to feel it and see how things go?
It's definitely going to be a whole body, and I'll tell you why. I was just going through most of my unreleased music, music that I worked in, music that I actually recorded, music that I hadn't recorded, and just basically wrote and just let there. This is a huge catalog, and it's all saying something, and it still fits within now because in today's world, people aren't really focused on singing. They're just out there because they got tools that can make them get their pitch correct, you know, auto tune and things like that. We need people who still sing, but who are also saying something. So there's a whole body of works that is lined up. And I decided before I even look at the new stuff, I still need to get all the old stuff out so
Okay.
that maybe I can just empty my bin and start actually loading new music and let it get out. I've got a song coming out called Closet. I made a fun thing about it that I wrote it in my 20s, recorded it in my 30s, and now I'm releasing it in my 40s. That's just
Okay.
crazy. And the song still sounds good. So
Okay.
yeah, there's a body of work that's still going to come out. So yeah, stay tuned. Stay
Stay
tuned.
tuned. I love that. So I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 hours, 2 years, 20 minutes, 20 hours, I know your answer will be different every time because there are millions of them. I understand that and recognize that. I'm not asking for your favorite. I'm asking you if you had to push play to five songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom?
It's gonna have to be definitely If My People by Fred Hammond. It's gonna have to be I Am Here by Commissioned. Fred Hammond is in that group too, so it tells you that I love Hammond. It's gonna have to be Please Don't Go by Boyz II Men. It's going to have to be, dear God, five songs.
Yeah, so you got two more.
I'm a little hip hop head too, so now and again, give me a Dr. Dre song. Give me Let Me Ride by Dr. Dre. And then we'll probably bring it back to SA as well. I'm a huge Ayanda Gia fan, so give me I Understand by her. Any song from her offering, I'm gonna go for as well. Some South African flavor right there. I was also thinking about Ray Phiri. Ask me how. He's one of my favorites. He actually mentored me, one of the guys I love so much.
Okay, so the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So, as a final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
Look, I'm grateful that there's at least the digital world has given us access to each other across the globe. That's one great attribute that I'm going to be grateful about. So this is me saying we've got the powers that be, we've got the political leaders, we've got different types of leaders, but can we all just be the change that we want to see? Like what Mahatma Gandhi actually said, because that way we may be able to let love prevail and remove borders and love on each other without borders and make our world a great place to actually live in.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.